That sweet, humble prayer, Brother Danny. You know, I've thought often this week about how you mentioned, you know, when you see somebody in need out there on the street, you know, how easy it is to go to the negative, how easy it is to assume the worst to somebody because they're in need. Wouldn't it be so much better if we could just assume the best about people, assume that they are in need? Because what's money anyway? It's just a piece of paper. All the gold to Ophir is our Father's. And whatever He freely gives us, we ought to freely give. You know, I do appreciate that prayer, Brother Danny. And we ought to start trying to assume the best. Because I believe it's just as easy to assume the best about people sometimes, whether it's true or not, than it is to assume the worst. But I do appreciate that prayer. Touched my heart. You know, I'm always thankful for the gifts we have in the church. You know, there's gifts to pray. There's gifts to work with your hands. There's every gift that is good and perfect comes down from the Father of lights. And we ought to put them to service in His service, in His church. I confess to you that, you know, being on that mountaintop last weekend, you know, sometimes you do have to go back into the valley and you see the hurt. And you see the worry and you see folks going through things. And I know I spend a lot of times there when I'm preaching, but, you know, I just can't help but see it. My heart hurts. You know, my boss, Kane, last weekend, the executive chef that I work with, his son tried to take his life right before my ordination service. And he was supposed to be filling in for me all last week. And he had to be off and put his son in a mental place and had to be with him. You know, I didn't mind working, because I didn't have to deal with what he was dealing with. But man, it hurt. It hurt me still. It hurt me my friend was having to go through that. You know, there's a lot to be said about mental health and things that people go through. You know, I don't have experience with that. I don't know what it's like to have to go through that. And I don't really know what to say about that. But I do know what this Bible teaches. And I tell you what, if you want to work on your mental health, child of God, elect family of God, I tell you what, the first place you got to work on is your spiritual health. Spiritual health is the most important thing the child of God has. Because I tell you what, if you're looking for answers out in this world, you're not going to find them. The child of God is not going to find the answers they're looking for out of Him, but they will find them in God's Word. You know, I start thinking about what my friend's son, what he was going through. You know, Kane told me he just broke up with his girlfriend. The boy's only 20. You know, I wouldn't have thought nothing about that at 20 years old. You know, I guess if, you know, I was really in love with a girl and she broke up and broke my heart, you know, I'd probably feel pretty bad, but it would never cross my mind to take my own life. I don't understand that. Well, that's okay. Each person's tempted by different things. We all suffer different things. You know, if this, the devil, is a lion seeking out who he may devour, you know, he knows when we're weak. And, you know, I'm convinced that one of the first things that my friend's son probably thought about was like, I'm going to be alone. This girl don't love me. I'm not special enough for her. You know, I believe that's the two lies the devil uses, is that you're not special and you're all alone. Now, that's a sad state to be in when you feel so low that you're not special and you feel alone. I tell you, child of God, that is not your case. You think about, just for a moment, and I'm going to try to make these points. If we turn back to the very first book of Genesis, chapter 1, and it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. I want you to think about the very nature of creation, just for a little while. And I promise it's going to tie into my point. Lord being our helper. You consider that when God created, there was nothing. There was darkness. And it says that He said, let there be light. That means there was no light until God said, let there be light. So He created something from nothing. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Can me and you do that? I can't do that. You know, they talk about the Big Bang Theory, and I know Brother Luke was mentioning that in one of his sermons a while back. Well, I guess I believe in the Big Bang Theory, too. You know, when I was younger, some people asked me why I got into being a chef. And the honest truth is I was watching Emerald my senior year of high school, and I liked how he said, bam, and I like to eat. That's how I decided to go. I was like, I want to be like Emerald, and I like to eat. There was no depth to it, and it just all kind of worked out. But I guess I believe in the Big Bang when it comes to creation. God said, let there be light, and bam, there was light. But He took something and created it from nothing. Think about a God with that kind of power. Now I want to turn to 1 Peter 2 and 9. Here it says, but ye, I'm talking to you, child of God, talking to you. Peter's talking to you. But ye are a chosen generation. You're chosen. A royal priesthood. That sounds pretty special to me. And holy nation. Holy means sanctified. Set apart. Special. A peculiar people. Now, peculiar has a lot different connotation probably in our world today. You might think it means strange or something like that. You know, you hear somebody says, he's kind of peculiar. Well, that means he's kind of picky, kind of funny. But here it means special, particular, peculiar, set apart, special. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, this verse is talking about regeneration and how God sets apart His people. But I want you to understand that He's likening regeneration just to like creation. Just like He said, let there be light. I want you to know when He put His light into your heart, there was no goodness there. There was only darkness there. And He called you and made you a special people. He said, you are mine. And from darkness, He made light come out of it. Where there was nothing, He made something. And the reason why He did that and how He did that is He sent His only begotten Son that we might be redeemed, that we could be His people. I tell you, child of God, somebody that would give up their own son for you, I tell you what, you must be pretty special to it. He must love you an awful lot. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're not special. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're not loved. God loved you so much. What great love He loved you with. I tell you what, but when you get out in this world, you'll forget that He loved you. You'll forget your first love. We love Him because He first loved us. So I believe that's one of the first things the devil tries to tell God's child in that state, is you're not special. The next thing he tries to tell you is that you're all alone. If we turn to Hebrews 13 and 5, I want to reassure you that you are not alone. Verse 5, chapter 13 of Hebrews. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now that's some strong confidence right here. Our Lord said he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But I want to draw attention to that first verse. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, the first chapter 13, it's exhorting to some godly living. But I want to think about that sentence there. Let your conversation be without covetousness. You know, a lot of times when we think about conversation, we think about conversations we're having with one another. And that probably applies here, too. But, you know, the most conversations I have are in my head most of the time. It's the voices that are in my head. You know, this Bible also tells me over in 1 John 4:1 to try the spirits whether they be of God. Now, that's talking about false prophets. But I tell you what, you can get a lot of ideas in your head sometimes. You need to try them and decide what spirit they're coming from, whether they be of God. You hear a voice in your head saying, I'm all alone. I'm not special. God don't love me. That's not what this Bible says. Our God loves us. He said he'd never leave us. He never forsake us. Special. And you're never alone. He's always with us. He's put the Spirit of His Son right here in our heart where we can speak to Him and talk to Him every day. He sits on the right hand of God making intercession for us every day. He says we can get down to the throne of grace and call on His name every second, every hour of every day. And He always hears His sheep and they hear His voice. You're never alone. And you are special. Don't let the devil tell you that. You know, isn't that the two extremes right there? Let not your conversation be with covetousness. Now, when I think about covetousness, you know, that's usually saying, well, I want what somebody else got. Well, isn't that the two lies that he's telling us? He's telling us you'll never be special enough. You'll never be like other folks. You might as well just go ahead and end it. Or the other side of that is nobody knows what you've been through. You're all alone. Nobody's going to ever know what you're going through. That's the two extremes. Brother James told me a lot of time, you know, the devil's in the ditches. But you're not alone. Our Lord and Savior said he'd never forsake you. He'd never leave you alone. But I'll give you another point, too. He's built his church. He's built a place of refuge for you, a place to come. When those voices in your head and the things of this old world get to, there's a place to come and find solace and find rest. You're not going to find it out there, but you can find it here. You can find it here, and you don't have to wait till Sunday. Let me get that straight right now, because the church is not a building. It's a people. And I tell you what, Brother James and myself both, if you ever get to that point, and I know I'm talking to some well-adjusted people here, but you know what? My friend Devin, my son, my boss's son, that was a beautiful boy. Cain adopted him when he was 1 year old because his parents were on drugs and went to jail. And Cain took him in. And that boy was beautiful and he grew up well. And he looked fine on the outside. He looked happy. He looked well adjusted. And then that happened. So you don't ever know what's going on. So just in case that I don't know what's going on in your life, I want you to know this right now. If you ever hear voices like that in your head, I'm a phone call away. And if you need me there, I'll be there. And Brother James probably said the same things. And everybody in this church to say the same things. See, he's given us a church. He's given us a place of refuge. He's given us brothers and sisters that care about you and love you. You're not alone. God's with you. And I tell you what, God's people are with you. You're never alone. And you are special. And I tell you what, everybody on the sound of my voice is special to me this morning. You're special to me because you are special to my Father. He set you apart. He called you out of darkness into light. And he's made, by his grace and mercy, given me the opportunity to be that under shepherd, to try to care for God's people. And I care. I want y'all to know that I care. I care for you because my Lord Savior cares for you. And he's commanded me to feed you. And I will take that as the heaviest responsibility and the greatest privilege all the days of my life. But if we turn back to Hebrews 12 and 1, Hebrews 12 and 1 follows the Hall of Faith chapter back in Hebrews chapter 11. And the writer says here, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." In Hebrews 11, it just went through the faith of all those brethren, Abraham and Isaac and Noah, and all those that the faith, the things that they went through, the troubles they shared, and they came out because they followed God and they had faith. But here it says, also us. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." We've had so many examples of God's people going through hard things and God bringing them through. We have it written down in the Word, all from the Old Testament to the New Testament, of what all those brethren, those prophets and apostles and those disciples of Christ went through, and how God brought them through, and how they provided for one another and loved one another and came together and was one accord and one mind and gave to one another. I tell you what, that's still true today. That's still true today. We are still compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. You know, I told you, there's some things I haven't experienced and I don't know. I probably can't help you with. I'll pray for you, though. And you know what? If I ain't got any words to say, I say, "Brother, I love you. I don't know, but I'm here for you." You know, I think about some of the things people have to go through. You know, cancer is a hard thing. I haven't had cancer, but I tell you what, I went through it with my mama. And you know, for about 3 years, my mama, she fought. You know, how many people have I seen and heard of that they get cancer? And this might hit home because it's happened to some of my family, distant family. They got cancer and they decide, well, that's it. And they ended their life. I was like, "Child of God, that's just telling you that this trouble that you're going through is too great." That's that old devil talking to you with that. I tell you what, when we do that, we sell short what God's able to do. Yeah, this life is hard and it's not easy. And we do suffer. But I tell you what, I've seen examples of God's people facing cancer. They fought. They fought hard. My mama fought. She fought hard. She taught me a lot of things how she went through that. Now, I didn't go through that personally. And you might be going through the same thing, so you might not can come to Brother Joe and say, "Brother Joe, what about this?" I tell you what, somebody in this church has. Somebody's been through it. Don't listen to that old devil. You're not alone in that. You're not the only one that's ever faced that. We're surrounded by, we're compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses is somebody that has been witness to what God has done for them. And they'll share it with you. And that's the opportunity we have as a church, is to share one another our troubles, share with one another our deliverances to God that has brought us through. You know, when I think about, I see Brother Hunter and Sister Deanna sitting there, and their son Braden's defending our country, being a Marine. You know, I don't know anything about a child serving in the armed services. But I tell you what, Brother Jim Young probably knows something about that. He knows something about the Marines. Brother Charles Matthews knows something about serving and serving his fellow man in the country. I tell you what, my Aunt Sandra and Uncle Russell, they put two boys in the services. Now, I'm going to take a little side note. Don't ever tell me around me that, oh, that was just the Coast Guard. Let me tell you something about my cousin Justin. He confessed some things to me recently that he wasn't able to tell me before. And let me tell you, my cousin Justin had to endure some things when he was stationed down at Key West, because he was trying to keep the very drugs that are hurting my friend Kane's son out of this country. And I know there were nights that my Aunt Sandra and Uncle Russell stood up late worrying about their sons. So if you're worried about that, I tell you what, there's somebody in this church that can help you with that. He can tell you how God has delivered him and brought him back and made it through that. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let's remember that we're not alone. Let's remember that you are special. You are chosen. You're not the only one that's been through that. There is a church of support here, a cloud of witnesses that love you and want to see you do good and want to help you and want to help you bear your burdens. Let us be better at doing that for one another. And the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Races aren't easy. Life's not easy. But I tell you what, when we come together and realize we're not alone and we're special to one another, we're special to our God, our Father, I tell you what, that weight that we feel that's all on our shoulders, you know, it gets spread out. You know, I believe that burden gets lifted a little bit. You know, I think about weight. And last weekend when they laid hands on me, Brother Jeb tried to tell me, I confess that to you, he told me to get on my two knees, and I'm not going to keep mentioning this because it wasn't that bad. You know, I began to feel the weight. But you know what? After a little while, all the other brothers around me too, they confessed to me too. It wasn't just my knees that were hurting. Brother Jeb said his knees were shaking. Brother James Isaacs told me his knees were shaking a little bit. Luke told me his knees were shaking a little bit. And I don't want to mention this too much because Brother Mickey's going to think that I think he prayed too long. I don't think that. I love the prayer that Brother Mickey did. And that's not the only thing I was thinking about. But you know what? As the more tired we got, it seemed like the more somebody put their weight on another person. And it felt like the weight got a little more distributed by the end of it. And even though I felt that weight come down on me, at the end of it, it felt that weight was getting lighter. And I tell you what, when you have a weight, don't try to bear that alone. I love you. We love you. Don't face those things alone. Don't suffer alone. That's not what being a member of the church is about. Being a member of the church means we suffer together. We joy together. We rejoice together. We cry together. We laugh together. And we praise His name together. Knowing this, looking, we should be pointing each other and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, you understand, you're the joy. Yours is what He went to the cross for. He loved you so much, He put His sins on Him, your sins on Him. And took the full weight of the sins for every child, every elect family of God from the beginning of time on Him. You want to talk about a weight? Our Savior had a weight. We don't have a weight. And I don't mean to make light of trouble and suffering. But compared to what our Lord and Savior Jesus endured, it's nothing. But looking unto Jesus, that's who we're supposed to be looking unto. That's where our strength is. That's where our comfort is. That's where our peace is. That's where our joy is. You know, I love that point. I can't remember if it was Brother James or Brother Luke made last week about the difference between joy and happiness. Your joy, what gives you joy is constant. It doesn't change. Happiness, sadness come and go. But I tell you what, our joy should be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's always there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So even if we're sad or we're happy, we still have joy. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And because He's done that, the sufferings of this present world are nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You're not alone, child of God. You're special. You're special. You're precious to Him. You're precious to me. And I take this opportunity to tell you that. Because if anything ever happens to one of you, if the ever devil gets a hold of you, want to know. I don't want it to be said that Brother Joe didn't tell you I love you. I don't want it to be said that Brother Joe didn't think you were special. I tell you what, you got one right here. And our Savior, our God the Father, that loves you. He thought you were so special that He gave His only begotten Son. And I love you. And I think you're special. And that's not up for debate. You are special. I love y'all. I thank you for your good or attention.